Hello and welcome to this CINCOM podcast. This call may not be recorded. Are you breaking the law? My guest today is Rick Daly, Executive Vice President of Business Development at CallCopy, one of the fastest growing companies in the call recording quality monitoring industry. Rick recently delivered a webcast on the impact of call recording regulations and best practices for call recording. The webcast was very well attended and proved to be both interesting and informative. Since this is such an important topic, today I'm going to talk to Rick about a few of the areas he addressed in the webcast. I'll also provide information on how to view the webcast in its entirety at the end of this podcast. So Rick, first of all, let's start by asking, what are some of the key business drivers that are contributing to the rapid growth of call recording?
Thanks, Randy, and that's a great question. If you look at call centers across the globe today, a vast majority of them are recording calls for some reason. And those reasons range from industry regulations. There's some law or some requirement that's mandating that they record their calls, their sales or upsell activity, or just their general customer transactions. Some companies do it to provide insulation against disputes or for dispute resolution. So if a customer would dispute the terms of a sale or dispute the behavior of an agent, the company can then pull the recordings out and verify what did or did not happen on that call. And then probably most common is that same recording that we're all so familiar with hearing. This call may be recorded for quality and training purposes. Using recorded conversations in the training room, using them to coach and train your agents is really one of the best ways to foster development of your agent pool.
Great information, Rick. Now, once a company determines that they need or want to record calls, what are some of the state recording laws that they should be aware of?
Well, it really breaks down on a state-by-state basis for who is notified that the recording will be taking place. And there's a difference in some states. Some states require that one party be notified and consent to the recording, and some states require that two or all parties be notified and consent to the recording. So for a one-party state, for example, if I'm being recorded and I'm talking to you, I only have to know about it. You don't need to know and you don't need to consent. That would be one-party consent or one-party notification. For two-party notification, we wouldn't be able to record it as we are in this podcast without both of us agreeing to and consenting to being recorded.
And what states are currently two-party consent states?
Well, there are 12 states in the United States right now that are two-party states. Those include California, Connecticut, Florida, Illinois, Maryland, Massachusetts, Michigan, Montana, Nevada, New Hampshire, Pennsylvania, and Washington. So 12 of the 50 states require the two-party notification or two-party consent.
Okay. Now, Rick, since you and I are both in Ohio at the moment, a one-party consent state, I guess that makes it pretty easy. Obviously, the Ohio laws would apply here. But what if you use Florida as an example, which is a two-party consent state? What happens when you call a customer in Florida from Ohio, or a Florida customer calls you? Which law prevails in that case?
Well, it's a very slippery slope. And to date, we haven't found any conclusive rulings that determine which law would prevail. Some schools of thought will point to the state where the recording takes place. So if I'm in Ohio and I do a recording with a conversation between someone in Ohio and someone in Florida, I've heard some people that have said that Ohio's laws would prevail. However, I'm not sure if I were running my business if I would want to necessarily bank on that if Florida's Attorney General started calling me saying, why are you recording my citizens without their consent? The best bet in any instance is to err on the side of caution and to follow the more stringent of the laws. And again, I'd like to say now I'm not legal counsel, and for people who have really a lot of concerns regarding this, definitely check with an attorney that's familiar with the laws of the states you're in or the states in which you do business. But again, err on the side of caution. Let everyone know.
That all makes sense. Now, what are some of your recommended techniques or best practices for obtaining client permission for recording an inbound or an outbound call?
Well, for inbound calls, it's a little bit easier than outbound calls. For inbound calls, you have an announcement played before a caller is connected to your agent. That announcement we're all familiar with. This call may be monitored or recorded for quality and training purposes. Other things that some companies might do is play a beep tone into the line where there will be an intermittent tone that's beeping. It's audible by all parties in the call, and that's to denote the recording. That works as much on inbound as outbound, but for outbound, you usually have to go a step further, and that's actually verbally notify the people that you're calling to that there's going to be a recording. For example, if you're doing an outbound call and you're in a telemarketing environment and you need to record those calls to have your sales verified and to verify the terms and the offers, then you don't want to introduce an outbound call with saying, "Hi, this is Rick from Call Copy talking to you on a recorded line." That might not be the best way to do it, or to have your predictive dialer play a recording to the person before they're even connected to an agent. It's not going to help your sales conversions. What you might want to do in a case like that is just use on-demand recording, not log 100% of the calls, but make sure that your agents record the portions of the calls that you need to record for compliance. Now, in the event that you're not doing the telemarketing, let's say you're a financial institution and you're calling one of your customers and you need to record all of your transactions, it's not necessarily a sales call. You're not as concerned of the stigma of the telemarketing driving the intent for the call. That might be easier to use a scripted opening, such as, "This is Rick from Call Copy calling you on a recorded line. Randy, I need to talk to you about your account information." Something of that nature might be a little bit easier in a general outbound business call.
Okay. Now, again, Rick, I think this is an area where maybe it gets a little bit complex, and which is, if a single call center would be making or receiving calls from many states, of course, some of those calls might come from single-party consent states, while other calls could be to or from a two-party consent state. What are some of the ways to handle these different types of one-party, two-party call consent requirements on a call-by-call basis?
Well, some companies will route the calls through their telephone system different ways. For example, if there's a single 800 number that's used for all customers, but then that 800 number goes into a voice tree or an IVR prompting system, different prompts might take callers through different paths. So someone might hit a prompt for sales versus a prompt for service, and it might route them differently. One of those routes might be recorded, one might not be recorded. There's also ways that you can manage what's the intent of the call. What are your agents doing on that call? If they're doing outbound calls and they don't need to be recorded, then don't record them. Don't really run the risk of recording illegally. Otherwise, you need to work with your scripted notifications, and perhaps if you're using a CRM application that's intuitive, that can provide smart prompts out to the agents, in some cases, like I know Syncom Synchrony can do, then you can guide the agents through those activities and pop up reminders to them so that they know to adhere to their scripts. It makes it easier for the agents, they're less likely to forget, and all of your customers' needs are going to be met.
Very good. And Rick, the last area I wanted to ask you about is the PCI standard. I know you covered this topic in depth during the webcast, so can you just tell our listeners what these PCI standards are, and what challenges does PCI bring to a contact center recording calls?
Certainly. Well, PCI stands for Payment Card Industry, and the PCI Security Standards Council was founded by Visa, MasterCard, American Express, JVC, and Discover Financial Services. And really, it was these companies coming together to make payment processing more secure and reduce the risks of identity theft for general consumers. So they put together a set of data security standards. And these standards govern how companies can retain and store payment card information. It pertains to call recording because in the bulk of these recorded transactions, a credit card number, expiration date, and three-digit security code is spoken. And that information is entered onto a computer. And when you're doing audio recording and desktop screen capture, you've recorded that information in the audio of the call. You've also recorded it on the PC screens. Well, the way the data security standards go, you're not allowed to store the security code, that three-digit or four-digit security code, for more than 24 to 48 hours, I believe. So the problem comes in with all of your recordings having this data in there. So the best things to do are make sure that you have a recording system that has security, that can restrict access to recordings, that can restrict the data that's sent back and forth between the computer and the server that houses the recordings, and that can encrypt the storage of those recordings on that server, basically protecting that data, that customer's account data, at every touch point. That's really what the focus of the PCI data security standards are. It's about security. It's about restricting access to that data to the people who need to have it. And the real goal is to make consumer payment information as safeguarded as possible.
Oh, very, very good. And Rick, I just want to thank you so much for participating with us today. And as I mentioned earlier, if our listeners want to learn more about this topic, you can view Rick's webcast, This Call May Not Be Recorded, Are You Breaking the Law, on CRM Exchange. That web address for the webcast is www.crmexchange.com/webcast/call-copy-AUG07.ASP. And you'll also find this web address in the podcast notes. Rick is also releasing a white paper on this topic in September, and you'll be able to find that white paper on CRM Exchange as well. So thanks for listening to this podcast, and we hope you can join us for the next episode of Contact Center Insights. Goodbye for now.